Okay, let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to help us with our worship time. Lord, we are grateful for your goodness and your kindness, Lord, in so many ways. Lord, we have breath in our lungs and a beating heart, and you keep us alive, and you give us your word, that we can read your word, Lord, and we can be saved. Lord, we can read your word and know how it is and what it is to be saved. Lord, and then we can know how to obey you and live for you, Lord, by your word. And the Bible class this morning with that video, Lord, we need to be grateful for that. There's these guys out there that take all this time and energy to figure out the Bible and the manuscripts and the Greek and the Hebrew and all that stuff, Lord. Stuff way above my head. And I'm grateful that we have guys that do that for us. And we have guys like Dorian that teach it to us, Lord. So we're just grateful for all these things. And now we want to sing some songs to you, Lord. And I pray that we're singing them because we really do love you. We're not just looking at the words and because of we've memorized them, we're just spouting them out. But then we're thinking about the words and we're singing them to you because we are grateful for all the things I mentioned, Lord. So help us now to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in this song here, in the chorus it says, "At the cross where I first saw the light." Now, before I was saved, I really didn't know what the cross meant. I heard about the cross. Jesus died on a cross. I just thought, well, somehow that's the way God shows his love to people by putting his son up there and, you know, letting him die. I really didn't have any idea what the cross meant. And now I know what the cross means. And it's different for everybody when we see the light, when we get a clear picture of the gospel. It happens different for everybody. Sometimes it's an instant thing. Sometimes it's kind of an ongoing thing for a while, maybe, right? But one thing is for sure, we get a clear picture of the gospel. And when we get a clear picture of the gospel, there's three things mentioned in this song that we understand. In the third paragraph, at the second half, it says, "Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree." So we learn about this amazing pity that Jesus has on us, because we think we're kind of great, right? We think we're pretty good. We got a lot of pride. And God has pity on us, and he shows us what a poor, wretched, blind fool we are, right? And then he shows us that we're just relying on our good works, and they mean nothing. So he has pity on us to show us the truth about that. And then he has this amazing grace that's unknown, meaning that he shows us his grace. He takes all of your sin and puts it on himself and takes the wrath in your place, and he shows you how you don't even deserve it. It's this amazing grace that he shows us. And then he shows us this love beyond degree. This love is not like, we don't love like this. We figure out we don't even love like Jesus did. He loved us while we're his enemy. And he loved us while we're rejecting him. Right? So when God shows us these things, gives us a clear picture of the cross, a clear picture of the Bible, now we can look at the cross and we see it for what it really is. What it is this. God figured a way out, planned a way out for him to send his son down here, him to take the wrath that we deserve and satisfy his anger toward our sin so that he can love us. Okay, in this next song, in the third paragraph down, second line, it says, "And praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath." So see, God lends us breath in our lungs, right? To keep us alive. And He lends us breath so that we can praise Him, glorify Him, obey Him, serve Him, serve other people, love our brothers in Christ, right? For His purposes. That's the main reason He gives us life in our breath, is life and life and lends us breath in our lungs to glorify Him for His use, right? But He does give us breath in our lungs so that we can enjoy this life, so that we can love our families, love our friends, right? For our enjoyment, like you think about riding a bicycle. If you couldn't breathe, you wouldn't be able to ride a bicycle, right? But we like to ride our bicycles, and He gives us breath so we can enjoy riding our bicycles, right? But He does not lend us breath in our lungs to sin. See, He doesn't lend us breath to be selfish, to be stingy, self-centered, lazy, to use our breath to sin. He does not lend us breath to sin. Just like this. If somebody came up to you and said, "Hey, would you lend me your car? I'm going to go rob a liquor store." You wouldn't do that, right? You would like, "I am not going to do that," right? Well, God doesn't lend us breath so that we can go sin. So we need to think about what God wants us to do. Let's use the breath He gives us, lends us, so that we can glorify Him and be a light in this dark world. Okay, so we're going to start a new year here in a couple days, and this is the time where people start making New Year's resolutions, right? And I think this is a great New Year's resolution song in the garden. I'll tell you why here. Hopefully you'll understand. Okay, most of the time people do resolutions like, "I'm going to start eating right, and I'm going to exercise. I'm going to diet, and I'm going to exercise," right? That's probably 90% of everybody's New Year's resolutions, right? But I think we could do this resolution. Listen, hear me out. This song says, "I come to the garden alone." Now, most of us, if we have a garden, it's like we got some vegetables and corn and cucumbers maybe, or you might have a flower garden, right? Or if you're lazy like me, you just have a Kentucky bluegrass garden where you just grass only, right? But these are not places where you can go and be alone with the Lord necessarily. I think maybe back in the day, they had gardens like the botanical gardens where you could go there and it'd be quiet and peaceful. But most of us don't have a garden like that, right? So we need to figure out how to have a garden. Now, some of you in here know my garden is in the basement, in a closet, with the door shut, my headlight here, my ear protection like that, so it's quiet and dark, and I read my Bible. I have to do that to get to my garden because I'm so easily distracted that I can't do it upstairs or on the main floor or whatever. I will be distracted by everything. So that's my garden. And that's not for everybody. Everybody has a different way to have their garden. But a garden is just a place where you can be quiet and hear the Lord. See, it says, and the voice I hear falling on my ear. And He walks with me and He talks with me. These aren't real things, right? This is being in your garden where it's quiet. And you can be with the Lord and He can talk to you and you can talk to Him, right? Now, I know some of you moms out there are going, ha! I got four kids. I don't have a garden. There's no way. Well, you know what, Dad? You got to step up. Take the kids. Leave the house. Whatever. Let Mom leave the house. Whatever. Give Mom a break. Let her have a garden, right? Because it's tough. I sympathize with you moms with all these kids. It's hard to find time alone. I get it. So, Dad, you got to step up and help them out. But listen, here's the thing. You want to have a garden, right? So my question to you is, do you have a garden? Now, either you have a garden and you go there, that's great, and you're spending time with the Lord, or you have a garden and you haven't been there in a while. Well, now it's time to make a New Year's resolution. I'm going to start meeting with the Lord in my garden. And if you don't have a garden, get a garden. Figure out a way to meet with the Lord. We can all repent of either not having a garden or haven't been there in a while. But this is the time. I know Christians shouldn't have to make this resolution that I got to meet with the Lord. But you know what? Sometimes in life we get distracted. We get off track. But let's have a new start. Let's repent of not having a garden. Figure out how to do that so that we can meet with the Lord and talk with Him. I think He wants that. Don't you? Yeah? Amen? Let's get a garden. All right, let's pray. Lord, we're grateful that you will talk to us through reading your word, through praying, through meditating. And you will, Lord. You'll meet with us and you'll talk with us. But if we're too busy or we're not doing it, Lord, you're not going to meet with us. And Lord, we want to meet with you, Lord. And if we've been in a spot where we haven't done that, Lord, grant us repentance, Lord, so that we will meet with you, Lord. And if we've never really got our own quiet place somewhere to do it, Lord, show us where we can do that. Lord, we can all find a place, Lord, but help us to do that, Lord. And I pray that you put that desire in everybody's heart, Lord, to meet with you and to talk with you and to have quiet time with you, because that's how we grow and we become connected with you and we love you more. So help us to all have that desire, Lord. And I know there's some people in here that they have that desire, and it's at the top, and that's good. And we love that, Lord. But I pray that for us that are slacking off, so to speak, Lord, that you would motivate us, Lord. You would be kind to us, grant us repentance, and let us have a garden, Lord. So I pray that everyone would want to do that, Lord. Please show us how to do that, Lord. You're a kind God, and we thank you for even being willing to talk to us and meet with us, Lord. So I pray that for everyone in this room, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.